St. Paul, his life, his legacy and his writings will be at the centre of a major meeting taking place from next Tuesday at the Rome Abbey of St. Paul's outside the walls. This 22nd Ecumenical Pauline Colloquium, to use its full title, will include some 30 top scholars from around the world under the presidency of Professor Christopher Tuckett of Oxford University. This year, the experts will be exploring Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, one of the shorter and lesser known of the 13 epistles attributed to the Apostle of the Gentiles. While mostly held behind closed doors within the ancient Benedictine Abbey, there will be a public lecture on Friday at the conclusion of the colloquium, revealing some of the fruits of the five-day meeting. So what will be some key areas of discussion, and why does the figure of Paul continue to hold such fascination for Christians across all the different denominations?
It's true to say that Paul is the great missionary of the church. The thousands of kilometres he covered, the way he wrote about what he was doing.
Benedictine Father Edmund Power is the abbot of St. Paul's outside the walls. I sat down with him to find out more about this series of Pauline encounters, which began half a century ago, back at the times of the Second Vatican Council.
That's right. I suppose it was born in the fervour of Vatican II, which of course was proclaimed here at St. Paul's. And from the 1960s right up until today, every second year, we've held the Colloquium Paulinum, as you say, with a view to studying the works attributed to St. Paul.
You have top Pauline scholars coming in, don't you, from all over the world and from different Christian denominations?
That's right. Part of the inspiration from the start was that it should be international, that it should be ecumenical, and that it should be men and women. In fact, it's been more difficult finding a large number of female scholars, but we've got several. So from that period, from the 60s onwards, we've always had a group of roughly 30, 35 experts from all around the world on different aspects of Paul. And it's always a great pleasure to gather them together here in the Shrine of St. Paul.
You're looking at different aspects of his work each year and his life, aren't you? This year you're looking at Thessalonians 2.
Yes, in fact, the kind of structure of the colloquium is slightly unusual. And normally speaking, they don't study a Pauline theme, you know, a topic from his theology, but they study a particular letter. So from the very beginning, they've gone systematically through the letters of St. Paul. Each colloquium, they'll deal with one letter or one small group of letters. And when they've come to the end, there are 13 letters of St. Paul, they then begin at the beginning again. Now, you might say, well, after 13 years, is there anything new to say on the letter to the Romans? Well, obviously there is, because Pauline scholarship's constantly going forward. So it's a close study of individual texts. This year, the second letter to the Thessalonians, which is, I suppose, I'm not an expert, but I'd say not one of the great letters, they're going to study it more in the context, they're studying it, in fact, now in the context of Pauline eschatology, in other words, Paul's view of the end of time and so on, because the second letter to the Thessalonians deals with themes of that nature.
I'm not in any way an expert either, but if I understand it, there is still some controversy about the authenticity of the authorship, if it really is Paul's letter.
You must come here on Friday evening to discover all. Because, in fact, at the end of the colloquium, it's a gathering of experts and it's very technical, but we always offer a public lecture. And one of the scholars gives the lecture in Italian. It'll be in the Basilica immediately after Vespers, and it tries to sum up some of the findings or results of the colloquium. And this year, the question that he'll be considering will be, did Paul, in fact, write the second letter to the Thessalonians?
Can you give us a little bit of background, perhaps, to the context in which Paul was writing at that time?
It's difficult for me to say very much directly on 2 Thessalonians. All I can say is that I think people tend not to know it, because it's not one of the obvious ones. You know, people think of the letter to the Romans with some of its fine passages, or 1 Corinthians, the hymn to love. But 2 Thessalonians is probably, if Paul wrote it, and that we don't know, it's quite an early epistle. Normally speaking, the first letter to the Thessalonians is considered Paul's first work. So this one deals with some themes that maybe, well, I suppose the experts will say are very important, but I think the ordinary person in the street or in the basilica might wonder. So that's another good reason for coming on Friday.
Also because the question of eschatology, the end of times, is a difficult question, a difficult issue for people today, isn't it?
Yes, in fact, eschatology has two senses. One is what happens after we die. The word eschatology, the Greek word, means to do with the last things. But there's also a sense in which eschatology is always present, because we're always in the presence of our ultimate destiny, which is obviously to be with God, but we're with God now. So in a sense, we're living eschaton, you could say. This double sense is very strong in the writings of St. John. But it'll be interesting to see what they turn up on St. Paul in this particular colloquium.
We have, of course, just fairly recently had a Pauline year in terms of rediscovering the contemporary relevance of the figure of St. Paul. How important do you think was that year overall?
It was a very stimulating year for us here, and I think it did have quite an impact. It finished now something like 3.5 years ago, in middle of 2009. But I remember at the time thinking that Paul is the only figure that you could actually have a year based on first. I mean, that there was the year of the priesthood immediately after, with an emphasis on St. John de Vianney. But what other saint has produced so much in terms of writings? You know, almost half the New Testament is attributed to Paul. And so his thought, his writings have been at the basis of all Christian reflection ever since. They're the earliest works of the New Testament. And so I think it was very opportune on the part of the Holy Father to call that Pauline year, which gave many people an opportunity to study Paul in greater detail, but not just at a technical level, but also at a spiritual level, to actually be moved by his writings, which are, of course, all about our relationship with Christ, which is perennially important. So you could say every year should be a year of St. Paul.
You mentioned at the beginning this is an ecumenical colloquium taking place. How important is this kind of work, this academic work, if you like, in terms of our ecumenical journey?
As I said before, I'm not a biblical expert, but I wonder how denominational differences really enter the question of technical biblical studies nowadays. Because we're dealing with the same text, it's true there'll be different shades of emphasis or interpretation. But what I notice, really, when these scholars come together, you're almost unaware of differences of denomination. They deal as equals with respect one for the other. They're studying the same text, that they're experts in the same linguistic and cultural background. And it's remarkable, really, that you're talking the same language, I think, in a way that maybe outside that sort of context, it's not quite so obvious. I must say, I notice that when we pray with other Christians, apart from the Eucharist, which is a particular problem, that there's always a tremendous sense of unity. You know, their love of Christ, our love of Christ is the same. But there are still difficulties that prevent us from being completely one. But at least in the context of Pauline studies, I think, there's a tremendous harmony.
Prayer is an important part of this colloquium as well, isn't it, on a daily basis?
Yeah, this colloquium is unusual because it's, as the people who participate in it also say, it's completely unique to meet in this context. The context is not a conference centre or a hotel or even a university. It's a monastery. And the original inspiration of the monks when they began this in the 60s was to actually pray around the tomb of St. Paul in his honour and to study his works. So there's always that kind of spiritual strand through what they do. Each day they begin, obviously, with a prayer. They participate in some of the divine office in the basilica with the monks. They eat with the monks in the refectory for lunch every day, and then they eat together in the evening separately. But they always say how much they appreciate this kind of carrying out this study of the works of Paul in a context of faith, which is welcoming and very much connected with Paul.
We're about to move into a so-called year of faith, the Synod on the New Evangelization. How much do you think Paul can or should be a focus during this forthcoming year as well?
Well, I could stick my neck out and say Paul should be the focus, but because, I mean, he's the great missionary, more than anyone else in the New Testament. We don't know all that much about the Peter, for example. There's a certain amount in the Acts of the Apostles. Or the other apostles, we know that they were involved in missionary activities. It's clear there are traditions that associate different apostles with different churches. I don't want to criticise or make demeaning comments on the Apostolic College and its missionary work, but it's true to say that Paul is the great missionary of the church. The thousands of kilometres he covered, the way he wrote about what he was doing. And so, yes, the new evangelization really should take Paul as its inspiration.
My thanks there to Abbot Edmund Power of the Benedictine Abbey of St. Paul's outside the walls here in Rome. For anyone interested in attending that public lecture at the conclusion of the Pauline Colloquium, it will be held after Vespers in the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls at 6:30 on the evening of Friday, the 14th of September.